Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
And I welcome Professor Emily Wilson. Her new work is The Iliad, a translation in iambic pentameter for those of us in the 21st century who do not have the original or any Greek whatsoever. It's a pleasure to welcome the professor and to thank her for how she has worked so diligently, not only to present in English all the depths of Greek language with the nuance, but also to make it easy to read on the page and to hear it read by the extremely talented and gifted Audrey McDonald in the audible.com version. I recommend having the book in front of you as you listen to the reading. Not only will all the pronunciations come through, but the music, the beat, helps a deal to understand the comedy and the tragedy. Professor, congratulations. I understand this is a lifetime's work. You've been at this since you were in high school. It is a pleasure to begin, however, in history. Where was Troy, and how did we come to seeking Troy and Priam's treasure 150 years ago? And what do we know about that city today? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. It's lovely to talk to you. So Troy is it's in what's now Turkey. It's on the Dardanelles, what in antiquity was called the Hellespont. And you can go visit the ruins of Troy today. And archaeologists have been working since the 19th century to uncover the ruins of Troy and have realized that there are many, many layers of settlements after settlements after settlements on that same spot, which was clearly a rich, thriving city in several periods of antiquity.
And the city itself, layer after layer after layer, layer down. And sometimes I would get lost about how many layers down you go, what time period we're looking for. The Iliad is make-believe. It's a work of invention. Mm-hmm. So Schliemann, for example, the great German archaeologist, did he believe the Iliad was based on fact? Was he looking for what in biblical studies is known as Heilsgeschichte, you know, a way of understanding the lesson of history? Did he think he'd found the real Priam home?
Yes. Schliemann famously said after he discovered a grave containing various gold funerary masks, "I have looked into the face of Agamemnon," because he theorized that these funerary possessions were the remains from Homer's Troy. In fact, they're several centuries too early to be from the same period as the Iliad, because, of course, this settlement, as we said, was built over and over and over again. And, of course, also, the Iliad and the Odyssey are poems rather than historical documents. They're not claiming to provide you with, here are all the footnotes that show my historical research. They're poetic imaginings of a partly historical and partly mythical world.
I was going back and forth, though, because this is maybe 8th or 9th century BCE.
Probably 7th. I mean, it's probably the actual composition of the poems is probably a little later. Like 7th is probably maybe a good guess.
All those hundreds of years between then and Schliemann's search in the 19th century, was the opinion that it was history similar to looking for the historical Jesus? Did they go and search in their minds. I understand it was translated into English, what, 17th century when they brought it back. But the Aeneid is based on it. Did they believe the original was an historical document for all those centuries?
I mean, that's a good question. To what degree did the Greeks actually believe in their myths? To what degree was the encounter between Achilles and the goddess Athena seen as, is that a historical event? If you read the beginning of Herodotus's histories, he takes it all the way back to the Trojan War and seems to have an idea that we can date when that would be. Of course, by modern standards, that dating doesn't seem to make much sense. But there was an idea that in some sense, the Iliad is a record of historical as well as of a mythical event, the Trojan War.
So the men we know vividly for political purposes, the Romans, they believed that it was an historical document. They believed that there had been a warrior named Achilles or a king named Agamemnon. Was that in their education?
I mean, it was certainly in their education. I'm not sure how much we should be saying. I mean, it makes them sound like idiots if we say they thought every line of this was absolute fact. They believed in these poems as documents and books of fantastic poetry, which can teach you things. And certainly the Romans in politics, as well as in literary spheres and as well as orators, thought the Iliad gives you a model for how to think about government, how to think about how can powerful men get along together or fail to get along together, and how can you provide strategy speeches which either fail to persuade or do persuade. In those ways, the Iliad in particular was extremely important in both ancient Greek and Roman education, as well as extremely important for just pure entertainment, and also in Greece as a performance text which appeared at religious as well as civic festivals.
I'm glad you mentioned performance, because we need to understand the original Greek is in dactylic hexameter.
That's right.
Which is a form of scanning that doesn't rhyme, as I understand it.
And yes, no ancient Greek or Roman poetry rhymes. It has a quantitative meter, which is in a way like a musical rhythm. So the first line of the Iliad is Menina eide thea peleado achilleos. So it has this unit of la la la, which goes all the way through. It's hexameter, so there are six of those units through each line. And it has that rhythm all the way through, and it was presumably very often chanted with musical accompaniment.
And you've taken an extra 150 years to render this in iambic pentameter. Why did you make that choice, Professor?
I felt that the only real equivalent in English poetic traditions to dactylic hexameter, which was the usual meter for narrative verse in archaic Greece. Within the Anglophone tradition, we don't have a tradition of writing in dactylic hexameter. Instead, we have several centuries of poets writing in English, composing in iambic pentameter. And I played around with, could I make some version of hexameter work in English? And I tried that many, many times, and I felt it didn't work. I felt it just felt flat in a way that the original doesn't feel flat. The original invites reading out loud and was in antiquity mostly experienced orally. So I wanted to have the English reader have some equivalent experience of this feels rhythmical, this invites you to read out loud, you can hear a beat when you're listening to it.
Oh no, and I experimented not only listening to Audrey MacDonald, but also I experimented reading it to myself. And it has that magical rhythm of Shakespeare. That's purposeful, right? Because that's
absolutely
what
yes.
That's what we're comfortable with.
It's what we're comfortable with, and it's also, I mean, Aeschylus, the great Athenian tragedian, famously said all of his work was slices from the great banquet of Homer. So Athenian drama was all of those dramatists, Aeschylus, Sophocles, Euripides, they were always looking back to Homer. There were proto-dramatic qualities already in the Iliad, where you have these very clearly characterized figures who are both larger than life and deeply human, and they all speak in different ways and perform in different ways, in very much the same way that you get in Shakespearean tragedy and comedy.
I'm speaking with Professor Emily Wilson. Her new work is The Iliad. This is an English translation read by Audrey MacDonald. If you have the Audible, which I recommend simultaneously with reading it on the page, it is decision after decision, and we're going next to understanding how it was first presented to the people of the Mediterranean basin and how it's been presented over 2,500 years to audiences who know the ending and yet still are vividly engaged. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.